I better look at my schedule. I wasn't supposed to give the announcements, was I? I hope you all had a good week. A little bit of rain out there today. I feel as if I'm just going a little bit different on what Mr. Nick spoke on today. But we're going to go into it. I want to talk about this wonderful country that we just went through, 2021. It was a repeat of 2020. And you know, the bad part about it is all they're trying to do is intimidate you and I and everyone so we'll let them rule us. And that's something we have to worry about. They're trying to scare us, and we're not to fear. We're God's people. God gives us strength and energy. God looks after us. And God wants us to be in His kingdom. And that's where you and I want to be. But you got to realize who's the god of this world, which is Satan the devil. I won't go there, but in 1 Peter 5:8, you know, he's the roaring lion and he wants to destroy. And he wants to destroy anyone who loves God. And you and I are on that list. And one thing you and I have to always realize, we can defeat him because we have God. God says if we're close to him, if we love him, if we serve him, and we finish the race, we will be in his kingdom. So what I'm covering today is what Nicholas Nick touched on a lot, different way. Turn with me to 1 John 4:7. And you all know this by memory, I'm sure you've heard it so much. First John 4:7. If I can get back there. You can thank Nicholas Nick for me having the New King James, because he told me that he started hearing these old scriptures from he, and it's better the other way. So I taped back my Bible. I've been saying I was going to get a new one because the back end of it tore out. But you know what? I never got around to it, so I had to staple together the other day when I put it out. And you think I'm kidding? I know. So one that fell apart on Passover. Anyhow, but I am going to get a new Bible. Okay, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his own begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You realize that God created man, and that's back in Genesis 3. I won't turn to it, but see, that's the beginning of man. And he loved us so much, he continued with us. Even though Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, did not eat of the tree of life, what did God do? Do you remember what God did? God made them clothes when they realized they were naked. He still nurtured them. He still took care of them because he loved them. They are his children. We are made in the image of our God. We are so thankful and so lucky that God loves us so much. We're thankful that God is merciful to us. But we must learn to love our God and to do what God says. You know, we're 115 days away from Passover. A little over 3 months, approximately 3.5 months. And every Passover, God knows that we need to have Passover. Because He knows that we are fighting the evil one, Satan. And that He goes about as a roaring lion looking for any hole in your armor and my armor. Because He knows if He can squeeze in there, He says, I fooled Eve. I took leaders down because of vanity. I have taken you down at different times. But God called you out of it, but I'm going to make you go back to that. So God wants you and I to fail. I mean, God wants you and I not to fail. Satan wants you and I to fail. He wants us not to be a part of God's kingdom. Turn with me to John 15, if you would. Verse 9. This is something you hear during Passover time. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy, that's Christ speaking, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. For these things I command you, that you love one another. Now he's speaking to the apostles at this time. But you got to realize, we're being prepared to be kings and priests in God's kingdom. These words are referring to us too. This is how we know that God wants us to be with us. He wants us to know everything about him. Up to a point, we have so much we'll learn later, but he wants us to know his word, love his word, and apply his word to our lives. Because if we don't, Satan will destroy us. We have to stay close to God, and when you're close to someone you love, what do you do? What do you do when you love someone? You're wholehearted. You want to please. You want to do. When your dad or mom told you to do something, you did it. Why? Two reasons. You loved them. And the second one, probably a little bit, you may have feared them a little bit. You know, because if you didn't do it, there is correction sometimes. And God does the same thing with you and I. But he loves us. He loves us so much. When you and I look at ourselves going into Passover, and we need to start thinking about it now, we have come out of the feast, God's feast. And the first thing Satan throws at us is what? Goblins and ghosts and all this stuff here, his counterfeits. And you go around and you see these people, they're even going crazier every year, it seems like. Halloween didn't used to be such a big deal. I mean, these people have yards full of everything. I can't believe it. But the people have bought into it. And when they see that you don't do it, they look at you kind of funny. But again, when they look at you kind of funny, sometimes they don't ask you, but maybe they're wondering about you. They wonder why you're different. And that is a light we are to be shining. That we do not pertain to Satan's way of life. Then we come across, about a month later, we have Thanksgiving, which is a holiday that is fine. It's getting families together. It's not against what God says. God wants families to get together to love one another and to be thankful. As we're to be thankful to God. At that time, we can thank God for our families and the many blessings that He has given us. And when we get together at the outings we have, isn't it always wonderful? Because somebody remembers something that somebody forgot, and you just go on. And they said, oh, I remember you. Remember when you did this? And you said, I'd rather not talk about that. That's when they talk about it. They're very loving. And then that goes on longer than it should have. But anyhow, then what happens? Then we go through this. Look here. And it gets worse and worse every year. Telling about when Christ was born. Nowhere near. I remember when I came into church, the way I proved it was I went to the encyclopedia and I read about it. And that's what Mr. Armstrong said to me. He said, just check your own encyclopedia. I'm not saying it. It's right in there. So I looked at it. Sure enough, had nothing to do with Christ. Had nothing to do with following God. It was all pagan. And yet the world what? Loves it. The world loves it. I mean, I can't believe people what they do. Of course, when I was young, and some of the older people in here, younger people won't understand this, we got clothes for Christmas. Because we needed clothes. You needed shoes. You know. Because if my shoes wore out during the year, I put a lot of cardboard in my shoes in the wintertime, I remember. And you change them many days when it was snowy or rainy. But it wasn't something that's just thrown out. And do you ever ask anybody, said, did Christ give those people anything when they came and give him the gifts? When they talk about those shepherds that came? They'll say, well, so no. Does it say anything about giving them? I was at a friend of mine's house one time, probably about 8-10 years ago now. We'd gone up north and we stopped and stayed all night with them, and it was in December, so they had their tree up. You know, they had all these presents around it, and they said, well, we know you don't keep Christmas. I said, well, you do what you want. I said, that's your decision. But I said, where's my gift? They said, what? I said, well, where's my gift? Aren't you supposed to be giving? I said, I didn't tell you I was going to give it to you. You're keeping it. I'm not. I just hoped you'd give me a gift. That's what they did to Christ, wasn't it? I said, isn't that what they did? They gave it to Christ. They had a stunned look on their face. They couldn't believe I'm talking this way to them. But it's true. Why wouldn't you give me a gift? If you really believe that, why didn't you give me a gift? Well, they knew I didn't believe it. That's why. But the point was, it isn't anything to do with Christ. The gifts were given to Christ in a manger. Or in the, wherever he's at in there. In that place there, but they call it a manger. Okay? That's because why? Because he was a king. He's the King of Kings. But that gets left out. Because see, that isn't the way Satan wants to go. He wants you to think that everybody has to give a gift. But you know, being Christians is really a blessing. I hope you and I count our blessings. I've told you about Art Clark who said on that song, count your blessings ton by ton and then count them one by one. I've never forgot that, and I heard that in 1967 at my first feast. And you know, anytime you start feeling low, just stop. Just stop. Write down the blessings you have. And then write down the things and why. The blessings you and I have are beyond compare. The world would love to have the peace, the love that you and I have for each other. We are family. I have family all over this country. And so do you. So do you all over the world. We haven't met them all. But we have family. I remember I took a trip, first trip I ever took across the United States. We went over to see, where did we go? Oh, we went out west. We'd had a car wreck. This is back in 1983. And I remember my mother, she says, "Oh, Dave, you shouldn't be going across the country like that. Your little family and da-da-da." And she says, "Oh, Dave, that's just, oh, you shouldn't be doing that." Well, now my mom's from down in southern Ohio. And if you moved more than three counties away, that was bad. And I was bad because I moved to Dayton, Ohio. And they didn't like it at all. But because of God, I had family all over the United States. And back then, we were a big church. And all I had to do if I broke down, there would be somebody somewhere near that I could have got help. We didn't have cell phones and stuff then, but we could have got help. That was a real peace. Peace in your heart and your mind, because you didn't have to worry about stuff like that. Today we have cell phones and it's easier to get help. And we don't have as many people though. There is a difference. But we can still get help. Whether it be from the church people now, or where you call someone you can get if you're out on the road and get stuck, you can have some AAA or somebody come out and help you, whatever it may be you need. But the point is, God has always provided for us. Always. And how many of you would have done the things you have done in your life, which I mean traveling, going to different areas of the United States. Even some people traveled across the country and into Europe and other areas. Where I came from is a small coal town, coal mining town. If you went four counties around, that's about as far as your life went. Because you see, you only had one car, and there wasn't a lot of restaurants. You had some in a town, but you didn't have McDonald's, and you didn't have 54 different restaurants out there that you could just go to and buy a sandwich. When you took a trip, you took a basket full of food, your sandwiches, your drinks, and everything with you. And then you'd stop at a roadside park. That's why the roadside parks were made. They were made for people who traveled because they couldn't afford to stay in motels and stuff. They couldn't afford to go to restaurants. You and I have been so blessed by the living God to have received these blessings and opening of our minds, and we don't want to take it for granted. When we get together and we see other people and we talk about the feast here back in 1982 or 91 or wherever it's at, do you remember, you just remember how that memory comes back? Yeah, I remember that. That's what I used to love about my family. And they still even talk about the feast, even though none of them go to church anymore. My son one time when he first left the church, he went back down to Daytona Beach. And he was down there about 4 or 5 years after he'd left the church, and he was, I guess he was dating some girl or met some girl and was talking. He said, "Yeah," he said, "I was down here with the church in 1995 or four, where it was." And she said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Oh, I mean, I've been here before." But his memories were there because he had been there at the feast two or three times in Daytona Beach and had a good time, saw different things, gone to Disney World, went to see the rockets and went to see, you know, everything around. And as I was a kid, that would have been not even in the book. Wouldn't have even been in the book going somewhere. Unless you had a lot of money. But we don't want to take these things for granted. When we're looking forward to going to Passover, these are things you and I need to look back on. When we're down, we need to look back and start counting our blessings and seeing how God has guided and directed us and say, "Oh, this is just another bump in the road. It's not a major thing. It's a thing that we just got to take care of." Because God is always with us. God loves you and me. He created you and me because He made the first man and woman. And that's the beginning of our lives. And the bad part is about all the stuff about racial stuff and everything, we're all brothers and sisters. Think about it. We're all related. It's just when some families don't get along. And that's what's wrong with the world. It isn't that one's better than the other. It's just that one has obeyed more than the other. One has been deceived more than the other. But we're all God's children. God made us different for a reason. One of the hardest things for you and I to do is to keep focused on ourselves. Because you see, it's so much easier to look at somebody else and say, oh, wonder why they're doing that. I can't believe they would do that. Well, they probably couldn't believe you've done that either if they knew about it. But the point is, we're not to judge each other. And then again, when somebody crosses us, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive. Turn with me to Matthew 18:21. Because that question was asked, if you remember. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, aren't we glad that God did not use the seven times seven on us? How many of us would be here? How many times has God forgiven you and me? You and I have to look at ourselves, no one else. If we see something wrong with someone else, we need to pray about it. Sincerely pray about it and pray for them. We're brothers and sisters. We're to be there to be support. We're there to help one another. Just as you do with your immediate family, we as God's church family are here to help, to care for, to strengthen when we have to carry if we have to. That's what God does to you and I when we screw up, and you all are just like me. We all screw up. We all sin. If you don't believe it, why did God have Passover before any of the holy days? He knew. Because the ones that were with him in the Garden of Eden, who had him around daily, had everything that was beautiful, chose to listen and be deceived by Satan rather than do what God said. You and I have never been around God. We've never got to talk to God. We've never got to see the beauty that they have seen. We have a lot of beauty in our country, this country we live in. We've truly been blessed. It's such a beautiful country. But you and I have to be sure that we're on guard at all times. Because Satan is that roaring lion that we talked about. And that roaring lion want you and I to suffer like him. You realize he knows what you and I are going to be a part of. He is so jealous of you and I that he hates us with a passion. Because he won't accept that he was the one who screwed up. It was through his own vanity. He was an archangel. Yet he thought he was better than his master. We always have to realize we are a part of God's family. God is the head. Jesus Christ is his son, the loving son who gave his life for you and me. That's why we have Passover. That's why our sins are allowed to be forgiven. Turn with me to Matthew 7:1-4. is in Christ's first sermon given, so it's very important, very important. It says in verse 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Speck. Oh, that's that little piece of dust, right? That's a little piece of dust, but. And we're able to look at it and find it and say, yeah, they got a problem. But do not consider the plank that is in your own eye. We can only change ourselves. For us to judge anybody else, it's not good. Oh, how can you say your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye and look a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite? Hypocrite. Pretty strong. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And if we get the plank out of our own eye, guess what we'll do? We'll be a lot more loving, asking, say, is there any way I can help you? And so say, you got a problem. You need to do. Oh, I saw that. You're not kidding me. No, you're going to say, can I help you? Is there anything I can do to assist you? What can I do to help you? You know why? It's like having an illness. I never had back trouble. And I remember looking at people, and they looked healthy as a horse. And I had to pay for it, and I'd say, that young guy ain't no way. I say, he just doesn't want to work. Boy, my plank just got bigger and bigger. I found out the hard way. It doesn't make any difference how you look on the outside. If you got back trouble, you're in trouble. 8.5 years I had back trouble. Real back trouble. 5 to 10 pain all the time. Couldn't work. Couldn't hardly do anything but stay in a recliner at one position that it would be down to around 5 most of the time. Anything I did after that, it was going up. I know a lot of you remember when I used to stand back there at that corner because I couldn't sit. Sitting like I sit today, that would take me right up to 10 pain in about 10, 15 minutes. And the bad part was, when I quit sitting, it did not stop. It did not stop. So when we look at someone who's in pain, always have mercy. Always have love. Because I guarantee you, you do not want to have to learn the hard way. That could become a part of your plank if you have the wrong attitude, a self-righteous attitude. Vanity, vanity, always vanity, the smart one said. And guess what? He knew all about it. All you have to do is read the book. And at the end he said what? I didn't have that in my notes, but let's go back to it. At the end he says, let me get there. And Ecclesiastes is where we're going. If I get there. Here we go. Verse 1, it says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity, vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Why do you think Satan can get most of the people to do what he wants? He makes them think they're worth more, thinks they know more, thinks they're better than you, and they should have your position? Or as he tells at the end of the book, after he has tried everything, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, he had done everything his heart's desire. He had had every woman he ever wanted. He had built anything he had ever wanted. And it was all beautiful. It was all good. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That's why we need Passover. That's why we need to be looking forward to Passover. So we can get the evil out of our lives and repent. And that Christ's stripes were for you and me. God loves you. God loves each and every one of us. We are so blessed to have been called by the living God. And to know His truth. To be able to keep His holy Sabbath day. Singing praises to Him. As brought out a couple weeks ago, the law. Everything in God's law is for your good and mine. That our lives can be happy as physical human beings. We need to keep that law before us. You know, the Jews used to always have it on their posts as they walked out the door that they looked at it. We need to keep it in our prayers. We need to keep it in our forehead where we know, foresight, that we're saying, yes, God is number one. I will not worship any other God. I will not use God's name in vain. And yes, I will keep His holy Sabbath and His holy days. And then the rest tell us what not to do. But number one is loving our God and obeying our God. You and I must keep this before our eyes at all time. We need to read it more often. Just as we should say the Lord's Prayer more often. It covers a lot. Everything that we need to repent of. And He always says what? Basically gets back down, do unto others what you'd have them do unto you. In Mark 12:29, I don't think Nick hit this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. And Jesus, the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. He doesn't say partial. He doesn't say when you have time. He says this should be number one in your life. And I hate to say it, but I haven't always put the first thing in the morning when I get up. But we need to keep that and realize. And then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Satan can destroy you and me. He can have the world destroy you and me. We may have to die for what we believe. Are you ready to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Are we that strong? That we could stand up and tell the rulers and say, hey, go ahead and kill me. I'm not going to do what you say. It's against God's will. Sounds easy to do, but we better have God's Spirit in us. We better be close to God, because without it, you and I will fail. That's why God has this word for you and me to read, to study, to know, and learn to love Him with all of our heart and all of our might. Because we have to finish the race. And God has called you and me. And we say why sometimes. And maybe sometimes He's looking, you know. He might have looked at His eyes and said, oh, he's a tough case, or she's a tough case. That's when we can say, aren't we thankful that He doesn't stop at 7 times 7? Aren't we thankful that any time you and I repent, God will forgive? Because our God is love. And He loves you, 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 and me. And all that He has called and opened our minds to understand. And we are the ones who answered that calling. They said there are many called, but few chosen. The reason a few are chosen is because they didn't decide to follow God. Maybe later on they will. Maybe when it gets really bad, they will. Or maybe in the world tomorrow, they will. We hope. We hope. Because we don't want to see anyone die and not be able to be in God's kingdom. That is the beginning. That is the beginning of the life, the spiritual life with our God. We're going to see things, know things, and just go, wow. How are you going to feel about when you meet an apostle or a prophet or Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? Doesn't seem possible, but you're going to know him. You're going to meet him. I'm going to meet him. I hope we're all going to be there and meet him. That's what we plan on being. But we must stay close to God. We must look to God and thank Him, praise Him, love Him, so we will do His will. And that's not a part-time job of loving Him. It's a full-time job. And we all fail, and that's why we have Passover. Aren't we glad our God is so loving and so merciful that He gave His Son for you and I? Some of those stripes that He took were for you and I. We're part of those stripes. Christ suffered terribly that you and I can have this opportunity you and I are having right now. It will make us appreciate the Sabbath day more if we keep this in mind. It will help us to look at each other as a loving brother and a loving sister and a loving family that we want to be a part of for eternity with the living God. It will unite us. We will not fear, because we have backup. We have family. And family will help support family. And most of all, we know that we have God and He will support us all. Matthew 10:27 tells us who we're to fear and why we're to fear. You've read it many times and so have I. But sometimes we need to realize it. Whatever happens in this world is physical. If you live over 100 years, that's wonderful. But if that's all you got, you're done. We're done. Matthew 27, Christ says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I don't want to go to hell. I hope you don't either. Because from what I understand, what God says about it, it's not a very good place, and you're not going to last long. And your time's over. If we serve God and we obey God, we finish the race, we're going to be in His divine kingdom, in His holy city, New Jerusalem. And you and I will be able to eat of the tree of life. Wow. That goes on forever. As one of God's sons and daughters. That's where we have been blessed. Luke 18 is an interesting scripture I want to point out. You've heard it many times. But turn with me to Luke 18, if you will. Verse 1. And it's about a parable. Verse 2 saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard God. Which means he didn't respect God. That's what it gets to. Nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But after he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Isn't that what God tells us to do to him? To come to him? But he doesn't weary of hearing from us. He enjoys every time you and I come to him. He already knows what we need when we're coming. And he loves to hear it when we praise him, because that's what he says for us to do. When we sing songs of praise here at church, can you imagine God looks and says, there's my children. He got a big smile on his face because he's pleased with us. We're here on his Sabbath day doing as he has told us to do and worshiping him. Turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 19. This is also in Christ's first sermon. It says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust would destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. You and I need to be sure that we have the armor of God with us at all times. That's His words, that's His wisdom, that's His knowledge, that's our love for Him, and that's our obedience for Him. Because this keeps the fiery darts from the evil one, Satan the devil, that we talked about at the beginning. That he cannot get to us if we stay close to God. If he is first in our lives. If he's the first thing we think about when we have a problem, I need to pray. I need to ask God. I need help. I need to ask for help. Whatever it may be. He wants to hear from each and every one of us. He knows what we are going through. He knows the trials we have, and he's just saying, just ask me. Just ask me. I want to help you, but you have to ask. You have to love me as your Father. And you have to want to please me, because I have the kingdom coming that I want you to be with me the rest of your days as a spirit being and helping me to fulfill the plan that I have shown you. And he has shown us what the plan is through his holy days. And we've been there. And we've heard the sermons. And we come home, we come inspired, and we hear so much in those 8 days. And really in that month, when you start out with trumpets, and then atonement. Can you imagine being there with God at atonement time? At one with God? Can you imagine what he's going to tell us, how we are to teach and help all those who have gone through things that we don't even want to talk about, but they're coming. They're going to come see thousands die. Millions die. And those people that we get in God's kingdom, they're going to be a mess. Can you imagine without God how you would feel when all of a sudden someone comes up and says, I want to help you. Yeah, sure you do, sure you do. They'd see many of their neighbors, many of their friends be taken away and killed. You think they're going to trust us when we first get there? They're going to be skittish as skittish can be. You see how people are right here with this epidemic that we have? Can you imagine when you see thousands killed? Tens of thousands? And blood running? Bridle high? That's a lot of blood. Especially in that valley. That's a lot of blood. That's what they're coming from. Starvation. They've come through famine. They've come through all kind of things. What we're going through with this epidemic and what they're trying to make you scare you to death is nothing. Nothing. But look how the people have succumbed. And if we don't have God's Spirit in us, we will succumb too. We need God. We need to make sure we let Him know we need Him. And praise Him. And serve Him. And talk to Him. And thank Him. Matthew 6:33, we hear all the time. It's probably a memory scripture for most of us. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As the lady was told, went to the king and was the widow was asking for it and couldn't get away, and he kept coming back. In Matthew 7:7, if you look up above there, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. That's all we have to do with God. Love Him. Serve Him. Take our problems to Him. Take our pains to Him. And He gives us everything. So as we prepare for Passover, which is 115 days away, let's be sure we examine ourselves. And let's be sure that we get back to spending more time in God's Word than we do on this or anything else. If I ask you to spend as much time with God as most of you do with this, woo, we would all be giants in God. But this is a distraction from Satan. When anything takes you away from God and not having time for God, then you have not put God first in our lives. God has to be the first thing. He will not accept second. He will not accept third. And if you do that, or if I do that, we will not be in His kingdom. And God doesn't lie. Jesus Christ gave His life for you and me because God asked Him to. Because God wants you and I in His family. And we answer the calling that He gave us. Let's be sure we keep answering that calling. Let's be sure we keep checking ourselves. Let's be sure we don't put a plank in our eye. Let's get rid of that plank if possible and not judge anybody else. Our God is love. How blessed we are to have a loving Father.